Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? This morning, Christopher was due to do the children's church, well, to do the jam club, and he prepared something for them about water. The theme of our service today is, in fact, living water. And so I thought it might be a good introduction if Christopher shared with us what he was going to do with the children. Here you go.
I think all of us perhaps have got better skilled hands today than we've had for a very long time with this virus. And today's theme, and I don't want to take away from Vicar Ruth, but we're thinking about Jesus being the water of life, and the woman of Samaria come to Jesus and discovering that even as a Samaritan woman, that Jesus cares for her and her family. Because we learn two things about water that God sends to the children. On the one hand, we use it to cleanse ourselves, but also we need it to drink in order to give us life. And the Christian faith teaches that Jesus does this. He is the water of life himself. He cleanses us from our sins, and that's why we discovered baptism. And the intention being at the end of the service, I was going to get the children to make a card, put material to it, with the woman writing a letter to Jesus, thanking him for bringing her back to God, and bringing the new water, the new life, into a life. I'll hand over to the vicar here.
Thank you. Thank you, Christopher. So our theme this morning, the water of life. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We say the prayer of preparation together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are open, from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We will be using Kyrie number 3 from the yellow sheets as part of our prayer of penitence this morning. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Let us come to the Lord, who is full of compassion, and in this time of silence, acknowledge our transgressions in penitence and faith.
Thank you.
have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The collect for today, the third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered into glory before he was crucified. Mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Would you please be seated for the first reading?
Testament reading is from Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. It's chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Steady hope, which will not disappoint us, because God's love has been flooded into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. But while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually be prepared to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. For the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our offering is number 290.
290.
as well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to me, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here for water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you, and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the same holds true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Whilst we, in this country, are worrying our little selves about a lack of hand sanitizer and toilet rolls, there are 785 million people in the world who don't have access to clean water. We've been learning how important for basic hygiene hand washing is. We kind of knew it already, but it's become really large recently. But as the 21st century progresses, access to fresh water will become increasingly fraught, and using water to clean individuals will come second to actually having enough water to drink. As the 21st century progresses, access to fresh water seems likely to become increasingly fraught as sea levels rise and weather patterns become less predictable. The provision of water is likely to become a political football, with the alarming possibility of water wars. That's a bit of a tongue twister, I might try it with the kids. Water wars. It is an alarming possibility. And we read that in this century, water will become the new oil, the center around which global politics will orbit. So it's tempting to use this week's gospel as a springboard to talk about these issues. However, it would be to do the text a bit of a disservice, since no water, no matter how clean or cold or sparkling, quenches the thirst, whatever, as Jesus said, the living water that he would give was going to do. So it's clear that when Jesus is talking about living water, it's not your run-of-the-mill H2O, but there is a deeper meaning to this living water. Now, the passage was long, wasn't it, today? Today's gospel was one of the longest that we hear. And the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman is in fact his longest recorded conversation. But if we read the whole passage over and over again, we might still be left puzzling as to what the living water might in fact be. Did I tell you, as I read the gospel, what the living water was? We just said it was life-giving, desirable, but we didn't actually say what it was. We have to actually fast forward to John chapter 7, verse 39, to discover that it refers to the Holy Spirit. And Christopher spoke about all the ways in which water is like the Holy Spirit. Christopher said that Jesus is the living water, and I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is the living water. To be honest, don't really think it matters. The living water is the presence of God with us. And this week I read a beautiful idea about the Holy Trinity, where Jesus and the Holy Spirit are considered the hands of God reaching out into the world. So Jesus is the living water, or the Holy Spirit is the living water. I think that either of those we can safely say is true. And I had a correspondence with someone this week who described their experience of not knowing God as being thirsty. They always wanted something. They always wanted something more. And the living water that Jesus gives of God's presence with us is like that. It quenches that thirst. It fills that God-shaped hole. We also discover, if we look at the prophet Jeremiah, that the idea of offering living water was not exclusive to Jesus. In fact, Jesus, by saying he's God, living water, is appropriating imagery that refers to God. So even though Jesus isn't saying, I am living water, he's saying, I've got living water, I'll give you living water, he's still saying the same thing as he is when he's saying, I am the true vine, or I am the bread of life. He's still saying, I'm not just the Messiah, guys, I'm God. You've got God in your midst. Sometimes the passage is viewed as a bit of a pattern for how we should spread the gospel, how we should engage with other people. Because Jesus treats the woman as an equal. Surprising, given that A, she's a woman, and B, she's a Samaritan. He avoids patronizing her. He piques her curiosity. He's perfectly content to receive from her and ask for her help. He engages in conversation. And the testimony of the Samaritan woman, who excitedly introduces others to a man who told me everything I've ever done. Can you imagine? That allows Jesus the space to speak on his own behalf. And so if we look at this passage, we can think of it as an antidote to blundering mission, which says, I am right, I am saved, you are not, you need to think as I think, you need to believe as I believe. Because where is that in this encounter? It's just not there. Essentially, this encounter is about respect. Relationship. And when we go about and get our dealings with people who aren't Christians, relationship and respect need to be at the very heart of that. In Eastern tradition, the unnamed woman at the well has a name, and she is called Plo. Oh, I can't pronounce it. I'll have to send you a message with it on. And it definitely starts with a P, Petinus, I think. But she gets a name, and they say that she went around forever after doing missionary work and drawing others to faith. And eventually, the Orthodox Church describes this woman, along with Mary Magdalene, as a saint who is equal to the apostles. And tradition tells us, rather sadly, that she came to the attention of the emperor Nero, and was brought before him to answer for her faith. And she should have suffered many tortures, and she died a martyr. And then they threw her down a dry well with a sense of irony about her being the woman at the well. But she is appointed as equal to the apostle, and she's a well-known missionary. Now, those seeking to follow in her footsteps today, in being missionary, not getting thrown down a well, will need to adopt a holistic view of mission that deals with both spiritual and material concerns. So when we're thinking about living water, we need to be thinking about those people who haven't got water. And we need to be thinking of those people who haven't got Jesus. Because this conversation, highly theological, highly spiritual, took place in a very prosaic context of the woman going to a well. She wasn't looking for spiritual salvation. She wanted water for drinking and cooking. Washing. And Jesus goes to that well, not with it in mind that he's going to convert a village in Samaria, but just because he's thirsty and he needs a drink. And the woman's excited in the first place, not because she's met the Messiah, but because she mistakenly thinks that if she gets the living water, she won't have to walk back to the well day in and day out. She'll just have water at full stop. Unless people have what they need to survive in terms of water and food and clean air, they will be far too preoccupied to have thought for spiritual. spiritual matters. But at the same time, when people are in situations where life seems precarious, where death seems close, where things seem unpredictable and out of control, what comfort, what sustenance is the presence of God with them? What sustenance is knowing that they are loved and cared for by God? How wonderful it is to know that that love doesn't last for 5 or 10 minutes. It doesn't last for a few years. It doesn't last for a decade. It lasts for all eternity. And really, truly, we can't keep quiet about that. So those of us who place a very high, high on our agenda, feeding the hungry, giving them a drink, making sure that they have clean water, making sure that people are safe, making sure that people are well. We rightly criticise those who run around and who say, Jesus is the answer, and don't do anything else. But at the same time, we need to remember that man does not live by bread or by water alone. It's a case of both and. The good news, the gospel of Christianity, is that we have the living water. We have the presence of God with us. God is not far distant. He has hands on earth. And yet, if we want to be those hands ourselves, we also need to help, care, serve, and love our neighbours in all of their deepest need. Amen. Would you please stand? Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father.
Do you believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ?
We believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he sees the right hand of our Father, he comes to us to live in the land.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Would you please sit for our prayers? In our prayers today, we're going to try and link the needs of our own church with the great purposes of God for the whole of creation. So I'd like you to imagine that you're standing on the outside of this church of ours, looking at its familiar shape and thinking of all it represents. Worship that takes place week by week. The prayer which takes place that no one sees. The spiritual energy which inspires people to serve God and their neighbour. The groups who meet here. The good works done. those that we love in it, those that we struggle with. Those who we think are perhaps a little bit odd. Those who we think, I wish I could be a Christian like them. Let us think of that wonderful band of Christians that make up this local church of ours. And now, let us try to see this church as God sees it and loves it. And quietly, let us pray for the life of this church, thinking about any special concerns that you might have about the life of our church right now. And now, in your imaginations, rise above the church and look at the whole parish. Be aware of its vibrancy, all of the people who live within it. Some of them confident, doing well, life is good. Some nervous, unhappy, struggling. We pray for our parish, with its streets and its fields and its schools, and its stories and myths, its history and dreams. And now try to look down on this parish and see it as God sees it and cares for it, how he loves everyone without exception. And now let us pray for it, holding it in the warmth of God's good and his purpose. Now let us rise higher in our imaginations and see the whole country teeming with vitality, its beautiful countryside, its fantastic architecture, its struggling cities. We see a nation rich in talent, low in confidence, addicted to its television, loving sport, having great internal arguments, but largely content to live without God. And we know in this land that the poor are in difficulties, that our institutions are creaking, that it's hard to be a good politician, and that materialism is our major failure. Let us look down on this land of ours and try and see it as God sees it. Not as his own country with favoured nation status, but as one nation amongst many, yet bathed in love and grace. Now let us rise very high and could see our whole world, as if seeing it from space. A colourful ball of blue and brown smudged with clouds. Our earth, our home. So insignificant, and yet so densely packed with life and purpose. A world of individuals, intimately connected. A world of infinite richness and complexity that needs careful looking after. A world that has gone to the brink of a global war, has interfered recklessly with the finely balanced natural systems, has made extraordinary progress. It has been immeasurably cruel. A world that has gone its own way, ignoring the Maker's instructions. Try and see this bruised planet as God sees it, precious in grand design and in minute detail. See it. The kingdom of God is a healed creation. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of the gospel, our Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please? Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to the cross, in one body, by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Remaining in your seat, wish those around you the peace of the Lord. Our Sanctus this morning will be Sanctus number 13, and we will be singing the Breton Agnus Dei. John's got us a new sheet for use after Easter. Very exciting. But for now, we're going to have the Sanctus number 13 and Agnus number 14. And our offertory hymn, during which the collection will not be taken, is number 43.
Thank you.
God of mercy and compassion, your word calls us home to faith and love. Accept all we offer to you this day. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our Lord.
It is right to give thanks.
Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning, you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise, forever praising you and singing. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, preserve her in peace. Bring us at the last, with St. John, the holy innocents, and all the saints, to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, all who stand before you in earth and heaven, worship you, Father Almighty. Songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Would you us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you.
Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together, Father, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us as your Son. May we who share Christ's body live in his heart. We who drink his cup bring life to us. We who have shown light give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope of our sacrifice, so we can all want to be charged with and the whole world live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give to you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth,